You are now listening to episode 388 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What's going on? What's going on, rock stars? Alex Pardo here. Thank you for jumping on another Flip Empire Show masterclass here. I got a good friend of mine, Mike Stansberry, out of Memphis, Tennessee. Mike is number one, is just an awesome dude, got a beautiful family, and somebody who's just been doing really, really well in his fix and flip and wholesale business out there in Memphis. You know, on today's show, I want to kind of give you the macro picture of just some of the things that we touched on that are so, so key. It's been critical to his success. It's been critical to my success, but it's playing the long game, right? It's having a big vision, a bigger picture for your business, right? So we talk about playing the long game, the importance of that. He shares some stories and how it's impacted his current decisions based on the vision for the long game, right? 5-10 years out. And then we get into, like, you know, how he's got a small team of five, but he's done such a good job of putting the right people in the right position to succeed. People that are all operating within their genius zone, their unique ability. And then we pivoted and we started talking about the marketing channels, you know, from a networking group, which will be revealed on the podcast here in a bit, a specific networking group that led to $160,000 in revenue just in referred deals. And he'll reveal what networking group that is and share some tips as to how to find the right one within this particular one. He talks about Facebook marketing and how he's been doing really well with that. Lead Sherpa, which is, you know, if you guys haven't had an opportunity, listen to the podcast episode with Jason Nickel from Lead Sherpa. It's something that we've been leaning heavily on. Cold calling, direct mail. So those are the five main marketing channels, and we kind of get into some of the specifics and why it's been working for him. So you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And so with that said, let's dive right in. My friends, I have a treat for you. I have a really good friend of mine, Mr. Michael Stansberry. Mike, that was my poor attempt, dude, to try to imitate your infamous radio voice. So now that we've started the podcast with that, give us a little tease as to the radio voice.
Well, Alex, the radio voice is basically something I've been working on since I was 8 years old. when I first heard a St. Louis Cardinal baseball game over the radio, I started imitating the announcers. I have a little brother, and we would be in competition a lot, and we would just do this. And then I grew up in an 80s kid, so we grew up in the 80s watching Cubs baseball and WGN and Atlanta Braves baseball, TBS, Harry Carey, and then anyway, that was the influence. And then I went to school at the University of Arkansas for broadcast journalism, and now I'm a real estate investor, so there we are.
Oh, I love it. So, dude, that might be one of the best brief and short and sweet introductions we've had on the podcast, which I appreciate. But no, so my friends, you know, I appreciate you guys tuning into the podcast here. You know that I am always striving to get the best of the best on here. And Mike is somebody who, you know, I've had the privilege of becoming friends with over the course of the last probably two and a half years. Right. And somebody who I really respect and admire because he places life first, and then he has been methodically working through building a business to really allow him to live life and travel and do the things that him and his family. He's got a beautiful family in Memphis, Tennessee. And so that's what I want to kind of chop up with you here. I want to talk about you know, what your business looked like years ago in the beginning. I want to kind of hit the fast forward button, ask you what your business looks like today, and, you know, talk about how you've been able to, the hiring process, the scaling. You know, we were just talking offline how you've been scaling the business, and it's been working really well because you only have to focus on certain parts of the business which, you know, fit your unique ability. And I think that's something a lot of people struggle with is, you know, wearing all the hats and just all the moving parts in the business. So, with all that said, man, walk us through, what year did you get involved in real estate? Like, when did you fully dive in?
So in the year 2000, I was working as a bartender at a place called J. Alexander's here in Memphis. And there was a guy that came in all the time. He was, and his wife, and they would sit down and we would talk. And I was working at a radio station with a college degree, Alex, making $9 an hour.
Wow.
So I was supplementing my income by bartending. And this couple, whose name is Terry and Barbara Edwards. And they, you know, they just, you know, one of the things they just did is they said, you know, you should get your real estate license. So I was like, okay, that sounds like I should do that. So just based on somebody telling me I need to get my real estate license, I went and took a class and got my real estate license. And, you know, I started selling real estate in the year 2000. I was 25 years old and was okay at it. Uh-huh. Was not the best, was not great, but made a living at it. And back in 2008, you know, I got an opportunity. I did my first, you know, fix and flip rehab. Now, during that time, I knew at some point I wanted to flip houses and I wanted to be a real estate investor. And so I was just like anybody in that space. When you want to do something, you're seeking out information. I wasn't seeking out people. I was seeking out information. And so one of the things I tell people now is, you know, people say, you know, I want to, what books, you know, books are very important and they were a big part of, helping my education process, but I really wish I could go back and go, okay, let me focus on the person, the people that are actually doing this. So, but I was lucky enough in 2008 to do a deal, to just, it fell on my lap. It was kind of serendipitous. It was, and just got a good deal on a house and flipped it, rehabbed it. You know, took about 6 months, and that's what I thought flipping was. I just thought that, hey, you know, you got to buy a house at a good price, which you do. And make sure that you cover your costs and then you make a profit at the end. And I did just that. No formula that I knew of. I just knew that that's what I was supposed to do. That's what the books told me. And then, you know, for 3 or 4 years, I was just a realtor and I was just trying to get deals through the MLS. I just didn't know anything about marketing. I wasn't seeking out any kind of mentorship or, you know, how to do this better. I was just doing what I normally thought, this is how you do it. And you just get lucky, you know, in the MLS every now and then, and you get a deal. Okay. And that's how I was doing that.
Mike, I want to kind of dive into your mindset a little bit. Have you always kind of been the type of guy to, you know, once you set your sights on something, you jump in and you know, I hate to use the words take action because I feel like it's so overused, right? But I didn't hear in that story that there was any really hesitation to jump into your first deal, do that fix and flip. I mean, obviously you had educated yourself through reading books, you had become a realtor, so you had some knowledge of the business. But I didn't really hear that there was a big arc you had to overcome in order to get that first deal. But I don't want to assume that either. So I guess I'm kind of curious, have you always been the one to kind of ready, fire, then aim? Or was it the opposite? Or did it take a while to get that first deal?
You should talk to my wife because I'm a default action taker, and that's not necessarily a great thing. I can have limited information and go, okay, I know what I need to know, and I'll just do it. Okay. And maybe I'll learn something, maybe not. Maybe if I go, oh, you know, I'll just do that again and again and again. And so you are exactly right. That's how I started out. I mean, if you go back, I mean, a guy says, get your real estate license. I was like, all right, that's a good idea. I'll get my real estate license. Yeah. I didn't process it. I didn't think about it. I just like, all right, where's this real estate class? I'll go do it. And so I was a very, you know, in my younger days, I don't know if you can identify with this or anybody on this listening, you know, when you're young and especially I got my degree and I had the mindset, I'm never going back to school. Mm. I don't like to learn. It wasn't that it was college was great, but that season of my life of learning is kind of over. And that was kind of just a big, huge ball of pride that lasted way too long to the detriment of, my business, of my family, of everything. And it wasn't until, I flipped houses for 4 or 5 years and I actually fell into my first, legitimate wholesale deal by accident. I bought a house for $70,000 and I was going to do the fix and flip. And I was like, man, I got a great deal on this. And I was just going to do the normal fix and flip. And I decided, I'll put for sale by owner sign on it while we're doing
just to see.
Just to see what happens.
And there it is. There it is.
And then this guy's driving down the road while I'm putting this sign out. And his name is David Steinberg. And I remember it because he's another real estate investor. We still wholesale deals to him these days. He goes, hey, man, are you going to sell this house? I was like, yeah, this is the first time I ever met him. And he said, what are you asking for? And I was like, well, if somebody gave me $120,000 today, I'd sell it. And he said, I'll give you $120,000.
Just like that.
That was the conversation we had in the yard.
Wow.
And so he goes, how much did you get the house for? He goes, I bought a house down the street and I'm working on a house down the street and I bought it for $120,000. It's the same 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1950s ranch style house. And I said, I bought it for $70,000. He's like, great. Mm. Awesome. Great deal. So I closed literally in a week. I figured out, he goes, thanks for wholesaling me the house. And literally that's when it was like, it's like that term, I'd heard it before, I'd seen it before, and I knew that people did that. I just never again sought out the information, sought out how to do it. And so I was like, man, I'd like to do more of these where I just don't have to do a lot of work to them and keep them and pay the interest and get the utilities on and all that stuff. And that's when I started going, all right, let me drop the pride and figure out what else is out there.
That's a really cool story that's how you got introduced to wholesaling. Now I kind of wonder if a certain part of me wants to ask you if you just got spoiled, because that was the first of all, there was no negotiation. The guy was like, okay, I'll give you your price. It sounds like it was a less than 5-minute conversation. And then on top of that, you actually told the guy what you purchased it for. I'm curious if you usually do that or if you did that because, you just like, because normally, the school of thought is, hey, buyers don't really need to know what you pay for these things, right? Right. So there's kind of a little bit I want to unpack there. But man, that seems like an amazing first wholesale deal that just kind of like happened in the blink of an eye.
So at first, when he asked, I was hesitant to answer. But then, I knew one thing then. I had leverage because I owned the property. Wasn't a true kind of assignment kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So, and I knew what he paid for the other one. And here's the truth of the matter is, and this is something I learned then, and I didn't assimilate it until later. If you get a good deal on a house and somebody wants to pay that for the house, like at my default now is I tell people exactly what I'm buying these houses for. And if for some reason that, trip something up in the whole transaction, that's not a me problem. That's a them problem. Mm-hmm. The way that we work now is we know what people will pay for it. So we have not just one buyer, but we have a lot of buyers. And some people may, when you're starting out, that's not the default position, but you want to get there quickly because you are providing so much value to these investors on the back end, because you're providing something that they want and a price that they will pay for it. It doesn't matter how much work you did to get the price that you want. You did all the marketing, you did all the negotiation, you got the price that you can, the best price you can get, and now you're selling it for the best price. Yeah. But I will tell you this, there was a time when I was kind of default, like, hey, I'm not going to tell people what I got the houses for. But that has changed completely over time. I'm an oversharer now because I like to just run in that, high integrity zone with my sellers and my buyers, because I find that for us, we have a long-term mindset with our company. We're not going anywhere. We're employing people. We're spending a lot on marketing. And so we've got to think, you know, 2025 in 2020. And if that's your mindset, you gotta have high integrity. You gotta let people know exactly how your process works. And you gotta let both buyers, but sellers know that, hey, this is how I'm solving your problem. And you gotta let your buyers know, hey, you know, if this is the inventory you want and this is the price you're willing to pay, that's it. And, you know, and let the chips fall where they may. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, man. And what I really want to highlight and cherry pick from everything you just said there is that this is not a one-time transaction for you. You're not trying to just wholesale a house to one particular buyer, or you're not trying to just buy a house, you know, one time from a seller. Although in many cases, you know, it's only one time we work with sellers and our buyers are the clients. But the fact that you have a long-term vision, and like you said, you're not going anywhere. Like, that's why one of the reasons you're successful. And that's why one of the reasons, you know, your company, regardless of the market, is going to be here and you're going to succeed, because you're transparent. You keep other people's, you know, other people's interest in mind. And it's not, you're not just a onesie twosie. You're not just after the next buck, but you're here long-term. And I think the last thing I'll kind of piggyback and say is, you know, we were just talking about the mastermind retreat that you and I, well, we're a part of the same mastermind. You weren't able to be at that retreat. But one of the things we did here that we haven't done in the past are these business breakdowns. And Steve, our coach, you know, he always started these with, what's the 10-year vision for your company? So the 3 or 4 business breakdowns we did is, what's the 10-year? And I want to plant that seed for people listening. You might not think it's possible that, hey, I have no idea what I want to do in 5, 10 years. But force yourself, ask yourself, where do you think you want to be? Because based on that 10-year vision, Mike, we're going to make different decisions today. And that's exactly what it sounds like you've been doing is, hey, again, I'm not just trying to wholesale a house one time to this buyer. I'm here for the long term. I'm here for the relationship. I want to make sure they're taken care of. They got a great deal. So yeah, really, really just wanted to emphasize that point for people that might not have that mentality.
Yeah, it's very important, and you know, to make a decision, and that's all it is. You make a decision that, hey, this is the business that I'm going to plant my flag in the ground. I'm going to be here for 5 or 10 years, and it changes everything. You know, we have I have a networking group that I'm involved in. I go to every week, and when somebody wants in that networking group, you know, I ask them, you know, is what you're doing right now what you're going to be doing 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, we want people to take the long game approach. And I want to be associated with people on a daily basis that have that same type of mindset, because my referral group gets a lot of great, not leads, I'm talking great referrals for me, because they know that I have the long game approach when it comes to my business. And I know when I refer business out to those people, my plumber's been in business for 7 years, my HVAC guy's 11 years, electrician 10 years. That these people aren't, you know, they aren't trying this out to see if it'll work. Mm-hmm. And that is the difference. That is the difference maker on success. Is like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is the road that I'm traveling down.
Right. Well, I definitely want to get into marketing, and I'm kind of curious myself, your networking group and you know, how you gone about building that and the referrals that's coming from it. Before we do that, give people just kind of an overview. What does your team look like today? You know, you got started in 2008. Sounds like you were kind of doing some deals for about 3 years. Around 2011, I'm guessing 2012, you really made this into a business. You do wholesale, fix and flip in Memphis. What does the business look like today? What's your team look like? I know you're in growth and scale mode, but that doesn't mean you're running around wearing all the hats in the business.
Right. I'll start specifically with what I do every day. The main thing that I do is I love the one part of the business that I love is I like meeting with sellers. And so if I can do that once, twice, or three times a day, that's the zone that I'm in. So we actually have my business looks like now. I was doing a lot of things. Jameson Hendricks is my partner. He also meets with sellers. So we have basically two people in acquisitions, myself and my partner. We both love doing the same thing. Jameson also wears the hat where when we get a fix and flip, which we do 8 to 12 fix and flips every year. We just keep a couple going at the time. And he handles that whole process of fixing the house up. Then we have his mom. We're a very family oriented company. His mom, Beth, does our disposition with that. She's a realtor and she just takes care of that. So once we get a house under contract for a fix and flip, it's basically Jameson and Beth. For our leads, our lead manager is Jameson's wife, Raffi Joy. And so her name, believe it or not, is on all our marketing. And that's something I learned in our mastermind a long time ago, is that if you have a woman as your lead manager, and also, you know, as kind of the person that somebody's talked to for your and all your marketing and our direct mail, and maybe it, when we're skip tracing people or cold calling people, person they call back is a woman. It just really helps frame the conversation in a better way, if that makes sense.
I find that people just kind of bring their guard down with a woman on the other end of the phone for whatever reason, you know. Right. There's no right or wrong, but we've found the same thing.
Well, Raffi is fantastic. She all our leads come through call porter, and then they get routed to her, and she basically filters them down to, hey, is this somebody that's a quality lead or somebody that we need to put in our follow-up program, or do they, we need to make an appointment? And so, you know, right now, and again, 3 or 4 years ago, that was me and Jameson splitting time doing that, making that stuff happen. And now it gets, you know, again, I just get updates on my Google Calendar. You got to meet with this person, here are the notes. And we use Google Calendar. We use InvestorFuse as our
CRM.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so that whole process just flows and works. And it's been a game changer. And so we also have on our marketing side is we do a lot of Facebook marketing. We do a lot of skip tracing. Text with Lead Sherpa.
Yep.
We do cold calling. We use Postal Impact. And that's been a game changer for us this year. That was really, really crushed it last year with that.
Christina's awesome. Yeah, Christina Krause from Postal Impact. We've had her on the show several times, so we'll include the link in the show notes. Good mutual friend of Mike and I. She runs an awesome, awesome service, and nobody better in the business as far as like data analytics and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and I'll double down on it. She's been great. We've been using. We also have another employee. His name is Daler, and Daler takes care of all that I just talked about. He basically, we've taught him everything about Facebook. We've taught him how to set the budgets and manage that. And he does the Lead Sherpa. He does the cold calling. Basically, everything marketing-wise is on his plate.
Okay.
We meet once a week, Monday, for a couple hours, check in and make sure that, you know, what is hot, what do we need to take care of here, and what are the other things that we need to work on? What other marketing things that maybe we need to try? We look at our KPIs and we make adjustments from there. So okay. We have a relatively awesome team, and I think everybody is working in their genius zone, I guess.
So important.
So it's working well. And so Jameson and his wife Raffi are on, they're actually in Disney World as we speak. And so I'm doing a little bit of taking those plates and putting them on my dinner table right now, and it's
at the moment.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
yeah, got it. So, Mike, did I count right? Is that a team of five right now?
Team of five. Yes.
Okay, beautiful. So, and I love it because you know you have a small team, and people think that you need to have a big team, 10, 15, 20 people, in order to do all this. But it seems like I didn't hear that you have a ton of tools. I mean, you have obviously Podio, you know, CRM with InvestorFuse, you know, your Google Calendar, you have it. Just what I'm hearing that you've done a really, really good job of, you and Jameson, is putting the right people in the right seats, you know, making sure that you've identified people's unique abilities and that they're operating in that lane. You know, you talk about the fact that you and Jameson love meeting with sellers. That's your zone. That's what you're doing. You're not out there, you know, you're not the one, I'm sure, inside of Lead Sherpa. Maybe now, you know, because James, but normally that's not what you're doing. You're meeting with sellers.
Right. That's it. And what's cool is, I mean, I know, you know what's in your back end, you know what's going on, but you're not in it. And so you know everything's being taken care of. And, and the other part of that is we have a small team, but we also, we outsource postal impact. So the mailing happens without us. Mm-hmm. We have another outfit that runs all our SEO and our PPC for our website. So that's all taken care of. Mm-hmm. Every now and then my job is to, like I said, meet with sellers. Sometimes I'll go to the closing attorney and then I'll do a quick little video of myself and a seller that is happy.
So important.
And so we update that information on our website. We put that on our Facebook and it's one of those things where we're in this great, fun position where it's working, it just feels like, you want to get to the point in this business is where you feel like the leads are coming in and, you're not only your leads coming in, but your follow-up is that you do is happening as well. And so those leads that came in early 2019 that weren't ready, now they're hitting because life happened to them. And that's because of the CRM and that whole process is working. And when that happens, you feel like, oh, this is a business. This is not just a seasonal thing we've got going on.
Mike, we just closed on a deal. When I say just, I'm talking 11, 12 days ago. First deal we closed in January. That we closed in January. Yes, well, 2 weeks ago. And we made 62 and change on it, which is not your average wholesale deal. That's like 2.5 to 3 times our average. It was a really good one. The reason I highlight that is because that lead was generated in 2015. 4 years that lead was in our Podio system, and we have been religiously following up with that person. Now we've had some automated follow-up sequences in the background, the autoresponder, a couple times a month, sending an email, content marketing, adding value, not just asking about the property. And it finally popped. The seller called us in October. We went under contract a couple of weeks after that, and it took a while because it was a tenant issue. It took a while to finally get to the closing table, but 4 years of follow-up, and it was a $62,000 deal. That would have, I think in a lot of cases, people like, I think the nugget there is go back to your old leads.
Right.
Because there's deals in your leads. And I think, this, Mike, the most expensive lead to generate is the one you don't have. But so many people are focused on keeping the marketing funnel going, which is important, but they kind of neglect the follow-up and the leads they have in their system.
Right. The one thing that gets me, one of the things I do is obviously I'm meeting with sellers, but I'm not in our CRM a lot. I'm in our CRM for like just a couple actions. Mm-hmm. Those actions are, all right, follow up with this lead that was 6 months ago. And I love having those conversations because the seed's already been planted. And, when you call them, you're just watering it. But sometimes you'll call them and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just called my, this and this happened. And I'm actually really thinking about selling now. When can we meet? And I love having those conversations, and they happen a lot now because we filled that pipeline up a long time ago and they're starting to come in. And, so that's again, talking about circling back to what you said at the beginning, you have to take the long game approach when it comes to leads. That's, for you that are listening on this, if this is the thing, one of the things I want you to really write down is, okay, write down the question, what does it take, to take the long game approach with regards to my business? And once you answer those questions and you've had some answers here, then, then you really methodically go through those answers and just extract what the action items are, you will be on your way to having a business that will last you a long time.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into marketing now, but before we do that, when you rewind the clock and look back, I mean, whatever, we're in 2020 now. Let's around 2011, 2012 is when you really made this into a business, right?
Yeah, right at 13. It was a supplementing income for my realtor commissions. And I was doing like two or three fix and flips a year.
What's been the key for you? And I realize this is a challenging question because it's somewhat broad and there's a lot of things that contributed to where you guys are now. But is there something you can put your thumb on that you would say, hey, when I look back to 2013, when I was a one-man show, and I look to today where we have a team of 5, which is not a big team, but it's the right team, which is the most important thing. anything that you can really put your thumb on that you'd say over the course of the last 7 years, this is how I grew from being a one-man show to now doing this and really operating in my lane, doing what I really enjoy doing and what I'm good at. And I have others on my team that are in the same boat. They're really good at what they do, and they're doing the things necessary to keep the business moving forward.
Well, you know, you want to call it something, and most people will call it luck. But, you know, when I met Jameson, my partner, was doing the same thing I was doing. And we met, we were at the same CrossFit gym together. And he was doing fix and flips as well. He was younger. He was probably in his mid-20s at the time. And he was a guy that was just asked, he was like, I just started this. I've got a couple deals. And he would ask me for some advice. And I'd go to his flips and he would go to my flips. And what happened was, over the course of time, I found out, okay, this guy operates like I operate. He has really high integrity. And mm-hmm. that's not something you find out right away. That's something that you have to find out. That's something that you watch in a person, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you've got to live it yourself. You've got your responsibility. And so I think the biggest thing, the hinge point was meeting him, watching the relationship grow to a point where we did a couple deals together where I was good at marketing, I was good at finding deals and negotiating, and he was really good at the fix and flip part. So we did a couple deals where that's what our relationship was. We just combined our two companies together, and I was out there finding deals, and we weren't wholesaling at the time. We were just fix and flipping, and he was taking it from A to M, and he was taking it from N to Z. And so that's how the relationship worked. And so watching that happen over time and going, okay, we really, you know, enjoy working with each other because we had the same values. And so it was this, me realizing that if I wanted to get where I was at doing 3 or 4 or 5 fix and flips each year, making decent money, but if I wanted to really actually create a business, I had to upgrade my hardware or my software. This is the hardware, the software.
Yeah.
So
well, it's funny you say, you got to work on both. You got to work on both. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got to work this out. And then the other thing is I had to, and about the same time I started getting mentorship from Steve Cook, from Sean McCloskey, and from other people in our mastermind that had already been down the path I was going. They were way ahead of where I was. And I thought, oh man, this is great. I get to ask these people these questions instead of doing what my default is. Just take action. Just figure it out. Yeah. And they already figured it out. They already had the losses, or they had the wins, and they could show me exactly what that looks like. And the key is just to drop the ego, drop the pride, and then go, hey, you know, here's where I'm at. You know, what do you think about this? What is, you know, this is what I'm doing here in this business. What would you take a look at this and, you know, what's your advice? And, you know, in our mastermind, the more you do that, the more vulnerable you become, and then you get so much. And so, that was the key, really dealing with people of integrity, especially in your business, because in our business, there are a lot of people that don't take the long game approach. And then the other thing is complete and utter fine, good, great mentorships. And I've been lucky enough, to find both. And I think that was the hinge point. And I would say lucky, I'd say, you know what, at some point I had to go, all right, I got to go seek that information out. I got to go. Uh-huh. And then uh-huh. I got to go take action on that.
Yep. Definition of luck, right? Opportunity meets preparation. So, I could not agree more with everything that you just said, from finding a mentor to, and I love the fact of why you decided to partner with Jameson, by the way. I think a lot of people make a mistake, and especially when they're getting started out and they partner with people and it's for the wrong reasons. You know, they don't compliment each other. They kind of jump into bed with each other, so to speak. And they don't know if there's a value alignment. You know, you worked with Jameson on a couple of deals and you saw it was a fit. You saw his integrity and values and all that. So, and obviously it's proven to be very successful. Man, I don't want to get out of here without talking about marketing, because I know that you really have that dialed in. You talked about how Christina Krause, Postal Impact, is taking care of your mailing. Sounds like you have somebody on your team that's handling the cold calling and the lead Sherpa and the Facebook marketing. And then you also have the networking group, which you alluded to earlier in the podcast. Of those four or five marketing channels, when I factor in direct mail, so we got the networking group, Facebook marketing, lead Sherpa, cold calling, direct mail. 2019, which one of those marketing channels were responsible? Kind of a two-part question. Which one of those channels were responsible for the quantity of deals you did? And then, and it might be the same answer, but which one of those channels were responsible for your best deals? And we'll define best based on margin.
Right. So best deals margin-wise, I'll just start there, is referrals.
Referrals, okay.
Referrals. And so, and I include that in the marketing because you can be intentional about referrals. You can be very, very intentional if you are out there in your town or wherever you're at, and you're networking with people that are talking to people every day. You got to think about it this way. Every day, people have different problems, and businesses are basically solution providers. If you can provide a solution in that marketplace, if you're a plumber and somebody's sewage system, the water pipe or the sewage is broken, that's a problem. And, you know, Dustin Smith with Smith Plumbing, he'll go out there and fix it. He's my guy that I tell people to go take care of it. And it's amazing that when you train people, or not when you train, let me say this, when you network those people and they know the solution that you provide and they also are operating at a high integrity, when they are listening to their customer about, you know, I've had this property for 20 years, I'm going to fix this, but I'd really, you know, I need to get rid of it. Well, what does Dustin do? Well, Dustin says, he asked the question, is that something that you're seriously considering? Yes. I had somebody that would buy me out of this house, I would do it tomorrow. I said, well, you know, you need to talk to my friend, Mike Stansbury with Mem Fixer Upper. That's what he does. He's really easy. He's the all cash easy button when it comes to that. And, let me do this. Let me give you his number and I'll tell him you're going to give him a call because all he needs to do is meet with you one time and he'll give you an offer and that'll be an option for you. So I have like 40 of those people out there.
40?
Yeah, 40 people in my networking group that are out there listening, just listening. They're not out there broadcasting my services, right?
Okay.
But they're listening, and the reason why that's key is because people will tell you what their problems are when you're out on the painter knows or the my gutter guy knows, you know, what the actual real problem is. And if the real problem ever touches what we do, then he will call me. Or if the gutter guy's like, hey, once we get this gutters done, hey, before you know you get these gutters up, you really need to replace all the fascia and the trim board. You need to call my there first, and he does that.
Okay.
So again, referrals are great because here's the thing: they're only going to be dealing with you. They will 99 times out of 100, once they've been referred you, you're the expert. You're the guy that's going to help solve the problem. You're going to buy their house, but you know, if it's something that they really want to do, if they're a real motivated seller, and you, there's no competition for that, zero. And so those usually. No, they are our best deals by far.
Wow. And also, Mike, there's a transfer of trust, right, is the other thing. When your plumber, you know, who the person has obviously chosen to work with and they've hired, assuming that guy's built good rapport, and he transfers, hey, you need to connect with Mike Stansbury. You know, he's the easy button for this. There's a certain transfer of trust there, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. The other key is they're already dealing with somebody that they know, like, and trust. They're in their house. And if they're part of our group, our referral group, which is, it's a BNI group, that's a national name, but they're all local, is they've been vetted. You know, do these people have, you know, a great BBB review? Do they get Google reviews? Do they do Facebook reviews? Are they in it for the long game? And so when I'm referring those people, I know that my people are going to be taken care of. And so that's, you're exactly right. It is a transfer of trust, and that's why the referrals are key. And that's, we love getting referrals, and we get organic referrals. We get people that will, because we put ourselves out there in the marketplace, people will contact us. Hey, you need to contact this person. People will message us on Facebook. It's a beautiful thing. hey, this for sale by owner sign came up. Here's a picture of it. And we've actually done deals from people that we don't know. They've snapped a picture of a for sale by owner sign and sent it to us. We called the person up and we got the deal. So, but I think that's just, again, that's about taking the long game approach and those serendipitous things happen.
Yeah. Mike, just before we keep going really quick, I want to get clarity on something. The networking group, is that BNI or is it your own networking group or a combination?
No, it is through BNI. It's a BNI networking group. There are, you know, what I would do for those that are listening, I would look up their website, BNI.com, and then just look in your zip code and see if there's one in your area. I would visit all of them because we're a fantastic group of people. We have a lot of fun. We have a group that they're just a good group, but sometimes you get a network group and it's a bunch of duds. And so you don't want to go into a networking group that's not with a lot of people that take the long game approach, but B, not fun. We're a lot of fun. We get together at 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays, and who likes to do that? Well, we do.
6 o'clock? 6 a.m. you said?
7 a.m. 7 a.m.
Got it.
7 a.m. Central Time. And we make it fun because we have a good time because, you know, we've been together for about 11 years. I've been with the group for the last six. So make sure you get in one that's a good group that's established. Or what I would tell somebody to do is maybe if you don't have something like that in your area or if you want to start your own, that is not a bad idea to start your own networking group, to get your own people together that you work with and work within that BNI model because it's one of those plug and play models where you don't have to figure things out.
Right.
That's why I highly recommend that we get... And so to really be honest with you, I only get 4 or 5 referrals a year, but the average though, wholesale deal on those is 40,000, about $40,000.
So it's 160 grand. You generated revenue just from being a part of this networking group.
Right. I mean, so then there's that. And then the other thing that was really big for us last year is direct mail was really huge. So direct mail was kind of not the antithesis, but we had a lot of leads, a lot of stuff, and you know we would average between $18,000 wholesale deal on our direct mail, and then we'd have a home run every now and then, but probably 18 to 20. And so we did a lot, especially at the last because we started direct mail in. Probably November of 18, And then again, it takes some time, but at the end of the year, and even right now, we're getting really good, really great leads from that. Postal Impact's taking care of that. And, probably our average wholesale deal on that's about 18K.
Okay. Very solid. How many pieces on average are you sending, Mike?
You know what? This is the fun part. I don't even know.
That's actually a good thing. You know it's working. Okay, no worries, man. I was just curious if you were like,
I should know that. I know my lead manager knows that, but I don't know that.
Okay. Let me ask you another dangerous question that you might not have the answer to, which is perfectly fine. But do you know which list you're primarily focused on?
What? Oh, say that again.
Which list you're primarily targeting?
So there is a. I think we had a lot of success with distressed. So their team over at Postal Impact does a great job of merging lists. And I think one of the lists that does real well for us is distressed lists. So it's a combination of stresses. It could be they filed bankruptcy in the last 3 years. They've had their utilities cut off or just a pile of life.
And so it's a list stacking type of deal that you did?
I think, yes, I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And for those of you who... Yeah, go ahead, Mike, and then I'll wrap it up. No, I was just going to say, for people listening that don't know what list stacking is, it's just a process of, you know, using a simple software where you can upload a probate list, an inherited list, a bankruptcy list, a pre-foreclosure list, and it'll tell you, depending on how you set it, hey, these are the records or these are the people that are on two or more of these lists. In a nutshell, that's basically what list stacking is. But right. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, and then see, the other one is probate. We get the probate leads come in, and we're real, we have this process where we take the probate. I think we have the probate information. We upload it to our Facebook. So they're getting hit with a letter, and they're also, everybody that's associated with that probate lead is going to see our Facebook ad. And so we've had a lot of good little ecosystem mesh with that. People will call us. Every now and then I'll listen to a call. That call porter says, hey, we got your letter, and it's crazy. I'm seeing you guys all over Facebook. And my aunt died and I inherited the property. I would love for somebody to meet. I'm actually doing that today with a guy in Millington, which is a little town north of me. That was a probate lead. So the probate mailers work really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the fact that you're what's called retargeting, right? Because they're getting your mail piece. They're seeing you on Facebook. It's establishing that credibility. They're seeing you all over the place. So when it's time for them to sell, they're thinking of you, you know, which is awesome. All right, cool, man. Well, hey, we're going to start to wrap this one up. Before we do, Facebook marketing, that's a pretty popular topic. And I don't know very many people that have been able to make it work. You're one of the few that I know anyways. I'm not saying it doesn't work because I know it does. Chris Chico, mutual friend of ours, he's got an awesome course on Facebook marketing. Highly recommend it. Yep. Matter of fact, I want to say you went through it, right?
Yes. Yeah, I recommend Chris's course. He's the one that kind of got us kickstarted. So I will give him a lot of props because I didn't know what I didn't know about Facebook marketing, and he helped us get that started. And then I've got Daler, our guy, that he... Chris does a lot of great job of updating his courses and say, hey, this is not working now. This is working now. Do this, do this. And so he gives us a lot of great cues on to change things up, because the most important thing about Facebook is to, you know, maintain your ads, change your ads up, change the language of your ads, and all that needs to be maintained. And Daler does a good job of that. And then, of course, Facebook makes changes all the time that impacts you. And Chris is the expert that he is. He's able to help navigate that, because when Facebook makes a change, you're like, oh, what do we do? And then Chris is there to go.
He's on top of that.
This is exactly what you need to do to change it up. And so we love that.
Yeah. Fantastic, Mike. Well, hey, brother, this has been a true pleasure and honor having you on, man. It's been great. Just, you know, getting to know you every single year for the last couple of years, and just, I value the friendship, man. And I appreciate you coming on here and sharing your knowledge and experience with people. This is a question we usually end the show on, and I've kind of already asked you a part of this, but I'm going to kind of open it up a little bit more to not just business now, but I kind of want to focus the question on life. You're somebody who puts life first. And like I said at the beginning, you've gone about building a business to, you know, support your lifestyle, and it's in alignment with your values and the things you enjoy doing, what's most important to you. What's been the biggest key for you when you look back over the course of the last, you know, 10 to 15 years or so? What's been the biggest key for you to get clear on what it is you want in your life? Because we just spent the last 40 minutes or so talking about business, but how did you go about the process of getting clear on what you wanted for your life?
Yeah, that is, so the question of what do you really want your life to look like? People ask that, but they don't really answer it. They ask and they don't answer. And so the key is to commit yourself to answering that. And so, you know, I've got my vision's not in my office. It's in my closet. Cause it's, I take a shower, get dressed, and I look at the vision that I have for my life. And I want to make sure I can see that. One of the first things I do, so I see it every morning in my closet, and it has what's changed over time. It has nothing to do with my business. My business is not on my vision at all. My business is to support my vision for my life. So the real clear thing, and this is the hard part, because people don't like to, this is hard for me, is to really get inside and go, okay, really, what do I want my life to look like every day? Every day, what do I, you know, what does that look like? So, and it gets clearer and clearer, and there are changes that happen probably every 2 or 3 months to my vision, and I'll make changes and notes, because as you know, your family dynamics change as kids get older, and things happen, and so you have to change it up. But I would do the hard work of really seeking out, creating a vision for your life. And I know you have resources for them to do that. They can probably, probably have a link to Life and Air. But when I did that, it changed everything. And then also, you know, having somebody to bounce that off of. But I will tell you another key to this whole thing, as far as, you know, feeling, going about your life and feeling like you're really doing something. It's this term of being radically generous, not just with your money, but with your time. And so, because life, here's where I'll put my life, put my flag on the ground. Life has been about me for a long time, too long. What do I want? What do I want my family to look like? I mean, we just talked about my vision. When you can put things on your vision and about other people and about helping other people, I mean, that's when the game completely changes. And that's how it's changed for us, is how can we be radically generous? And we're not hitting the marks. Yeah, there it is.
Right now, the Flip Empire Show is audio only, although we're recording this on video. At some point, this will hit YouTube. But what I'm doing is I'm pointing up a book, which was actually recommended by Josh, which is also a part of our, he was a part of our mastermind. He's in a different group now, but called Radical Business by Gary Ringer. And I think it's you. I think you have the book too, because he gifted it to all of us, right?
Yeah, I got it. I think I've, where is it? It's put somewhere in my book collection.
Yeah, and it's a short, easy read, and it talks about exactly that.
Right. And it's, there's a lot of people listening to your podcast right now that are lost in the weeds right now. They're like, I can't even figure this out. One of the things I would just say is the things that we talked about on the show today, take the long game approach, but also just write down on a piece of paper, what does it mean to be radically generous with my time and my money? And seek that out, and figure that part out, because that's a complete life game changer, for me anyway. And I think it would be for somebody else that took that mantra on.
What does it mean to be radically generous with my life and money? I love it, man. I love it. No better way to wrap up the show. How do people reach out to you, find out more about what you got going on in Memphis, in case anybody's interested in doing deals with you or whatever the case might be? Just network and connect with you. How do people reach out?
Well, the Facebook page, Memfixer Upper, we get a lot of traction there. We do a lot of our fix and flips, before and afters on there. We get a lot of organic people looking at that page. So that you can reach out to me there. If you message us there at Facebook, Memfixer Upper, then we'll definitely get that. I'm on Instagram at The Memphis Flipper. And then, of course, friend me on Facebook, Michael Stansbury. That's one of the best ways to reach out. Met a lot of people, a lot of investors that way. Would love to connect with people here that are buying and selling houses, and also you guys that are out there. If you have questions, man, feel free to hit me up. I may not get to you that day, but I do respond to Facebook Messenger.
I love it. And by the way, definitely connect with Mike on Facebook. You might even see videos of Mike and his son going through driveways, right? And it's just hysterical. My wife and I, we crack up every time we see one of these videos. So
I do them just to entertain.
There you go. There, and you are succeeding, my friend. So, hey, man, I really value, number one, I value our friendship. I already said that. Number two, thank you for all your support with Ascend and, telling people about it. So really appreciate, you supporting Steve and I. And brother, thank you for being on the show.
All right. Have a great one.
All right. We'll talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.